Today's reading is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Lizzie, thank you. He keeps faith forever. The Lord will reign forever. Hello, it's great to have you with us. If you're new, great that you found us. Hope that really quickly you'll feel part of the family among us. Maybe you've been on holiday. You might not have heard we're interrupting our plans to start a series in 1 Peter until next week. And if you wouldn't normally be in church, but you've come today and you felt you wanted to, well, welcome. This picture was the Queen on Tuesday. And by about the same time on Thursday, she had died. And I kind of love it that that's the last picture we have of her, because it speaks of a leader who, right up to the final hours of her life, was working, doing her duty. The reason that we have this photo is because she's standing waiting to greet Liz Truss, to appoint her as her prime minister. They chatted for about half an hour, apparently, having already just seen Boris and chatted to him for about half an hour before sending him packing. And I love this picture partly because of the look on her face, serving joyfully, really running the race right up to the finish line. I happened to be reading a memoir of one of her butlers last week. This was before any of this news. It just happened to be my holiday reading. Most of it, to be honest, was about how the Queen Mother liked her cucumber sandwiches cut, what angle the handle of the teacup is properly to be presented. But this butler had some good anecdotes. One time he walked in to say goodnight to Her Majesty and caught her wearing a pair of pink fluffy slippers and, at the same time, the full royal crown. Her excuse was the state opening of Parliament the next day, and she was just practicing. But this butler tells tales on several of the members of the royal family who he felt were prone to lord it over the staff. Do you not know who I am? That kind of thing. Do you not remember that I don't like smoked salmon? All of that. He said the Queen was never like that. One time a member of the public said to her, "Oh, Your Majesty, you must have loads of servants." And her instinctive reply, apparently straight away, "No, quite a lot of people who work for me. I don't have any servants." And yet, earlier this year, she was the one publishing a message on the 70th anniversary and signing it off, "Your servant, Elizabeth." Didn't have any servants. She was the servant. And you'll have noticed, I assume, how much of this, so many of the stories and memories we've heard in the last few days, really chime with familiar themes from the Gospel of God. Service, sacrifice, others, joy, endurance. And that is no accidental connection. 2016, she said this, "At Christmas, our attention is drawn to the birth of a baby. Billions of people now follow his teaching. I am one of them." I don't know what you think personally. I think it's been a wonderful blessing to have been led for so long by a monarch who wasn't just committed to duty and service, but was committed to Jesus, who she trusted and spoke of so unashamedly. The Psalms in the Bible have loads to say about royalty, leaders, princes. This psalm we read taps into something that seems to be innate in the way we humans are. Our hearts gravitate towards heroes. Verse 3, put not your trust in princes. We looked at this psalm on Jubilee weekend. That was just 3 months ago. Maybe you remember it. Why shouldn't we put our trust in princes or queens? Because verse 4, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. If you were here for that Jubilee service, perhaps you thought it was a bit of a morbid thing that I mentioned this particular psalm. Sadly, it proved to be true sooner than we would have wished. Her breath has departed. She's returned to the earth. And I wonder how you're feeling. For some of us, this has been unexpectedly, maybe unexplainably emotional. Perhaps it triggers thoughts of people you've loved and lost in your own family. Maybe memories of special times that revolved around the Queen, watching her on Christmas Day, or Jubilees, royal weddings that became precious family moments. Feeling like you'd grown up with her. Some of us had seen her. A few of us had met her. But many of us felt like we had a relational connection with this lady, even though we'd never seen her in person at all. It may trigger negative emotions in you, things about empire and monarchy that have been historically negative. And it's worth saying there's no use in church lying at all on how you're supposed to think or what you're supposed to feel this weekend. This may be emotional for you, it may not be emotional for you, but it may still be unsettling practically. So who's running the show in Britain today? A 5-day-old prime minister, a 3-day-old king. This is a country governed by newbies. Or logistically, you may be disoriented by the brutality of the handover. The Queen is dead. Long live the king. Brutal, not least to him. Having to be so public, so often, so soon. Having to lead us in our mourning for what was his mum. Existentially, who are we now? The national anthem changed overnight. Stamps, coins, passports soon to follow. By the way, if you're from outside the Commonwealth countries, thanks for bearing with us right now. Sorry if this is all a bit bizarre. Most of you have moved on from the quirkiness of monarchy. The big advantage of our system, they said, was that it offers long-term continuity when all around is change. But what do you do when the point of long-term continuity suddenly is gone? Spiritually, she defended the faith. Will he? Verse 3, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there's no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. I mean, we knew she was going to die. It wasn't kind of a big surprise in the scheme of things. This passage told us she was going to die. It's what happens to 96-year-olds. They die. And yet, the Queen seemed to go on forever. Boris put it well this week. He said, she was so unvarying in her pole star radiance that we've perhaps been lulled into thinking she might be in some way eternal. That's kind of classic Boris poetry, isn't it? But I sort of know what he's getting at. But put not your trust in princes. And you might not be in any danger of putting your hopes or pinning your trust on queens or kings, but totally separately from your views on monarchy, individuals we put our trust in and lean on. Do you have people like that in your life? We seem to need our many heroes of life and faith, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, family member, perhaps a mentor at church. How would you cope without them in your life? Could you cope without them? And don't misunderstand this. God uses other humans to bless our lives all the time. Thank God for the people he uses in our lives. This is not saying protect yourselves from disappointment by being detached or unconnected to community. But it is saying get real. Every son and daughter of man will disappoint you in the end. Because if they don't fail you or forget you first, and many of them will, in the end, they will end. One of the great attributes of our Queen was the way she modeled what this psalm urges all of us to do, which is to have a bigger vision, to lean into the Lord God as our help and hope. Some of those words that came up, pray for me that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him. The Queen was a monarch who knew there was a greater monarch. Her help, verse 5, was the God of Jacob. Her hope was in the Lord her God. And the rest of this psalm explains why she and we are no fools to lean into him as our big hero. Just compare and contrast the Lord God and all others. So the most direct comparison is at the very end of verse 10. The Lord God will reign forever. In other words, the Lord will never die on you. You don't have to worry about his demise flashing up on your phone as breaking news. And verse 6 has this, for a world leader, he made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. About a third of the planet's population were in the Queen's Commonwealth. That's some reach. But this says there's not a single atom up there or down here, no dark corner lurking in the deep of which he does not say, my realm, my creation, my will be done in that place. Here is a sovereign who truly is sovereign as he directs galaxies and calms seas and gives breath and takes it away and does what he pleases forever. Forever. It's what we fear about the Putins of this world, isn't it? When will they go away? But this is not a sign of a terrible dictatorship, in case you're worried. And that's because of what else we're told about the Lord of all. Verse 6, he keeps faith forever, which is so much more than he'll never die on you. He keeps faith forever. It means he is faithful forever, faithful to his promises to do his people good. And that's our big question about those in power over us, isn't it? Are they good? Why the Queen was so stand out and loved, even internationally. The grandmother of the world, someone called her yesterday. I think it was a French person. Even the French. You know, there was something British that they loved. The Queen. Is the Lord God who reigns forever good? Well, let me read verses 7 to 9 and you decide. He executes justice for the oppressed. Gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Is he good? The one who gives, lifts up, loves, watches, upholds, brings the wicked to ruin. Is he good? Calling him the God of Jacob reminds us this is not a vague appeal to whatever is out there. It's a description of the God of the Old Testament who has a long track record of being all of those things. You might sum up his leadership with the one word at the end of verse 3, salvation. And yet still it's hard for us, isn't it? Can I really depend on him in the ways this psalm describes? The queen might have been temporary, but at least she was tangible. We worry, can we trust an unseen God in a world so broken, where wickedness seems to thrive rather than be thwarted, and we carry such burdens in our personal lives? Please don't think that asking those questions and having those doubts puts you beyond the pale spiritually. This psalm was part of a collection put together for people later in the Old Testament where they weren't experiencing God to be as immediately saving as they would have wanted. Was he still on their side? Or even out there at all? He keeps faith forever, and we have so many more reasons to believe that than those who originally sung this psalm, because we have seen the reign of God embodied, literally, in the good leadership of his son. The Queen put it well in her Christmas broadcast in 2011. This next slide is the full quote. I think it might be my favorite quote from her because it's got so much gospel in it. We need saving from ourselves. A unique person. A savior. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. Jesus in action is a beautiful savior in all the ways described in this psalm as he feeds, opens eyes. There was a blind person on last night saying, not everyone's good with blind people and knows how to respond. And the queen was good with blind people. Well, how's this with being good with blind people? He opens eyes and he lifts up. And he watches over, because that's the kind of God he is. Won't you lean on him in trust? Set the prisoner free, it says. How did Jesus do that? Well, salvation is a broad idea in the Bible. It is loaded with meaning, and all the blessings described in verse 7 to 9 will be realized in the future kingdom that the Lord promises to bring his people home to. But Jesus frames his leadership as a ministry of salvation in the forgiveness of sin. And we all need to be freed from that particular bondage first and foremost. Majesty was right there. We're a terrible mixed bag. She knew she needed the forgiveness of a better savior than herself. A longer term hope than 96 years. Well lived. We all need hope beyond anything this world can offer or that anything in it can offer us. And I think you can tell the Queen got that from this quote. She once referenced this line. It's from the book Pilgrim's Progress, which describes the Christian journey. The language is old-fashioned. But this was her quoting this on the telly they showed last night from her own lips. Though with great difficulty I am got hither, I think that means I got here, yet now I do not repent me of all the troubles I've been at to arrive where I am. My marks and scars I carry with me to be a witness for me that I have fought his battles, who now will be my rewarder. His battles. He will be her rewarder. Thank God for a good queen. But verse 1, praise the Lord. Verse 10, praise the Lord who was her Lord. They say she was known to love it when things went wrong. So a flag that got stuck on the way up, a plaque that wouldn't unveil, not being recognized was one of her favorite things. She once cut loose from her minders and headed to the duty-free area of Changi Airport in Singapore, where various shopkeepers started bartering with her furiously, saying, you like this necklace, lady? I give you very good price. Apparently she loved it. But my favorite Queen story was when she and her bodyguard bumped into two American tourists near Balmoral. I told this story actually at the Jubilee service we had. And one of you the other day sent me a message of the bodyguard telling this story. And your message to me said, look, Kev, turns out that story you told was true. I know it was true. I don't tell lies at church. Can we just clarify this? I think some of you think we pepper our sermons with a few made up things around the edges here. No, I knew it was true. And if you didn't hear it, the story was this tourist out for a walk, bump into her and her bodyguard. They don't recognize her, but they get chatting. Do you live locally? They say to what they think is just a sweet old lady. I live in London, but I've got a little holiday home over that hill, talking about Balmoral. How long have you been coming here? They said, about 80 years, she says. The tourist said, oh, 80 years. Well, you must have met the Queen. She says, I haven't, but he has, pointing to the bodyguard. And then the tourists quickly shift their focus onto the bodyguard. What's she like? How is it working for her? And eventually, they thought they'd quite like to have a picture of themselves with the Queen's bodyguard. And this is totally true. They handed the camera to what they thought was just a little old lady and said, would you mind taking a picture of us with the Queen's bodyguard? Because we'd quite like to show our friends that we met him when we get back home. The thing I hadn't realized before was apparently she made sure she was in one of the photos in the hope that one of their friends back home would say, did you not realize who that was, you idiots? Anyway, I think the tragic thing about this moment we're living through these next couple of weeks would be to notice the many qualities of service and humility in the Queen, and to miss that they were all echoes of the King she followed. See, to celebrate the Queen without reference to Jesus would be like celebrating the bodyguard without reference to the bigger star. So, can I say, however you're feeling today, and whatever's going on in your life right now, please follow her example and pin your hopes on the only sovereign who keeps faith with his people forever. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let me lead us in a final prayer as we finish. O God, our sovereign and shepherd, who brought your Son, Jesus Christ, from the valley of death, comfort us with your protecting presence, that we also may come home and dwell with him in your house forever. Amen.